rules. So if you see things that look like they encroach, that's because they got variances for that last year. So the only issue is that platform.
First, I respectfully apologize to the board for my tardiness. I've done variance hearings for a long time here at the council, and I'm used to coming at 7 o'clock. My assistant filed this variance for me, and when I got here at 10 minutes to 7, I realized something was amiss. So I'm really sorry, respectfully, for coming late. I should have read the letter that said 6 o'clock. About a year ago, I filed a variance on behalf of this customer to get side...
Do you work for Inside Homes?
Yes, ma'am. I'm the Allstate Division Sales Manager.
Okay.
Yep. So about a year ago, I filed the variance for this customer in regards to the front, side, and rear setbacks. And the reason, the main reason we had to do this is because if you look at the lot lines are actually not perpendicular. So what that does, it shifts the building envelope, kind of cattywampus. So when you set a house on it, it really affects the footprint that you can actually set on the house. So those variances were granted. So we're actually, where a 5-foot variance was already granted on the side in question, we're actually requesting an additional 2 feet for that platform, which makes the 7 feet, but it's actually 2 feet more than the original variance that was allotted for this project. With this, I wanted to point out that the reason the generator platform is there is because the mechanical room is right there. And if we put the generator, you know, on the other side of the house or something, the concern was the overall power drop to run the line that far could actually affect the performance of the generator in bad weather per the installer. So that's why we're actually requesting that. I'd also like to mention that even though we're requesting that 2-foot additional variance for the platform, that is a common area next to the corner there. So there's a right-of-way in a common area there. There's no house there. And I actually have a picture, if the board would like to see it, of the approved elevation certificate and things like that that actually show that common area and the large area of property next to the side there on the corner of Todd and Hassel.
Ms. Cornwell, that's not a separate lot, correct? It's the same kind of land that the road would be on. Is that how? And I see Mr. Elliott nodding his head.
It's so. A 50-foot right away. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
But there basically is a large gap between the edge of paving of Hassel Drive and the property line.
Yes, sir. Yes. Very large, with no additional tax ID number, no lot that it can be built on.
Does that conclude your presentation?
Yes, unless you have questions.
Oh, I have questions.
Okay.
How long have you worked for Inside Homes?
I've been with them for about 2.5 years.
Do you have one of these books?
I do not.
I think maybe Inside Homes needs one.
Okay.
Because don't you think this should have been done before you put it there, before you built the house? Don't you think as a builder you should know what the parameters are and you ask first before you go ahead and do it?
Yes, ma'am, I would agree with that. I am the Offsite Division Sales Manager. I don't work in the field. I have been doing variances for probably 15 years through this board, probably had one that failed, have had many approved because I understand your guidelines and whatnot because I've been doing this a long time. When I submitted for the initial variance, I did not realize there was going to be a platform there. That came after the fact. So now I'm tasked to come back to you and explain, unfortunately, the approved variance that you gave me, we need to alter that or respectfully request to alter that because of conditions found in the field. That was not something that was initially known or it would have been submitted at the time of variance because I'm actually the one that submitted the initial variance.
At that time, I don't remember the generator room in the process of that.
No, sir.
And that's later when they looking with something to back their house up and not understand why.
Exactly.
And that's where the feed and everything come out, and that's where that generator tells you to go into.
Yes, so then the platform went there, and they called Brian and said, oh, by the way, Brian, we need to respectfully file a variance. I'm sorry, sir.
No, so the county didn't catch it. You called it, and then you come to the county and told them you need a variance.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
We've seen Inside, I'm a little frustrated with Inside Homes because we've seen them a little too often, haven't we?
Well, respectfully, ma'am, that may be with the production division or in communities. I'm the off-site sales manager. You've only seen one issue in here in off-sites in the 2.5 years I've been with Insight, and that was for a customer down to Fenwick. And I'll probably keep those thoughts to myself, but you don't see issues with the off-site division in regards to variances that we submit for.
This
it's very diplomatic.
Yeah, you're
okay.
So the generator can't be put on the other side of the house?
That's something that came up with the project manager and the installer before I entered back into the picture. And the issue is the concern from the installer that the overall power drop for that length of run could affect the performance of a generator for a house at large in a violent storm. So that's why they put that there.
Do they have a garage underneath?
Yeah, but you don't put the a generator underneath the house in enclosed area. No, it's completely enclosed, ma'am. It's a enclosed garage below base flood with flood vents.
So the generator is, was for the size of the house, that's kilowatts. It was made for that. So when you change that up, put it on the opposite side, you're going to have to get a bigger generator or a different size warrant to do that.
Yes, and still, with that type of run, could it actually, that feed affect a power drop in a bad storm? That's really the concern.
Well, you had a bigger generator to feed, but take care of that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You have bigger wires.
Mr. Workman, you may know more about generators than me.
But it makes sense where it's at, mm-hmm. the panel and everything else.
It's right there, yeah.
You go right back up in and you throw a switch.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And again, the issue really isn't the generator, it's the fact it's on a platform that's elevated.
It needs to be elevated.
Correct.
Is that platform, is it elevated because there's flooding in that area?
Yeah, you have to keep the platform above base flood elevation, okay? So it's on a raised platform instead of just on a concrete pad on grade to get it above base flood per code.
Not that far up, or is it?
Yeah, just a few feet.
Yeah, but for FEMA regulations and mm-hmm. for flood regulations, electrical equipment has to be above base flood elevation.
Right.
Is there any questions from members of the board? Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition of this application? Would you please have a seat? Mr. Rigger, please come forward.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just note for the record, Paul Rieger is coming forward. He's previously been sworn in this evening, does not need to be sworn in again.
Paul Rigger, 18171 North Forest Road, Georgetown. Last year, August when this one came about, it came up and I spoke about it. Then it was because, I guess, in fact, the findings, exceptional and practical difficulties for building on the lot. And the thing with this one was right after the new ordinance was passed for the undersized lots with the 5-foot setbacks and the front yard setbacks from the county council. And this was one of the ones that started the questioning with a clean slate lot, what to put on it, and what should go into 5-foot, what should go into the front, what can go into the side. And at the hearing, specifically Mr. Burton, Ms. Cromwell, Mr. Sharp, we have a few others during the ordinance hearing, had spoke up. Questions were asked about generators. Questions were asked about this, that. And in the own words, going back and forth.
Hold on, who's Mr. Burton?
Councilman Burton, during the hearing ordinance. When the ordinance was changed in March 20th.
I believe he's referring to the ordinance for the small lots.
Okay.
For what this was and what had already came in. And when they went down to the 5-foot from the 10-15 or the other setbacks for the front, it was the compromise for allowing it to get into be conforming lots, even though you look at it on the angle. But to come through and have a lot come in that took advantage of the new setbacks to be allowed to go that extra 5-foot on average in when no questions asked, it was supposed to remedy all of this. But to come in on a little lot, what becomes an exceptional practical difficulty? If you have a 70 by 100 foot lot, do you say that now you want a 65 foot house going across in the width? If you have a 55 foot lot, maybe you should have bought a 70 foot lot before you wanted to put that on there. It always has a difference. I can't see this exceptional and practical difficulty in taking a 50 foot lot if you buy it knowing, and as probably too, if this was done prior to even the ordinance being passed with the purchase of the property, a 50 something foot lot, when the architect had said earlier, before this ordinance even went, that you already have 10 foot setbacks and 15 foot setbacks and bigger setbacks, and the blessing was given for the 5 foot. But I know it's a long night. There's literally, I come up here how many times, and the only thing is, I have basically, as I recorded, the 3 minutes of the conversation went back and forth between them, which says with the generator, the other stuff, at the county council meeting with the questions on how hard it would be to get a variance. When the council members asked if anything is
going to- If I can clarify something right now, this is a corner front. The small lots section of the code does not address the corner front yard setback. So what you're talking about are the side yards, the rear, and the front, but not the corner front.
The corner comes in differently.
The corner front is always 15, so there's no reduction for this in the small lot regulations, which is what you're referencing to. So they would still need a variance.
Okay, so
and so there's no relief that was granted from the small lots regarding corner front yard setbacks.
So the side one came in where it was already 15, but there
again,
was nothing.
This
that's
is
the
not
only
a side
one
yard. This is a corner front yard. The small lot section of the code does not address corner front yard setbacks.
Okay, so then he's looking at going 8 feet into the...
To the corner front yard setback.
Oh, that's...
Not the small
that's an
lot
ad.
Sections.
I mean, he took advantage of the other three for the other three on it. And everything was moved. Could it have been moved in the beginning to allow for not to go into that one?
That decision has already been made by the Board of Adjustment.
I understand that. But also, too, in that same night, we're coming into the small size lots. The other house that came in right behind it, the stairs were moved. So there was a different thing done. It's like one thing has one issue, one has another one. But all I'm asking for is the consistency. And specifically...
Well, we have to take each case on its own merits.
Case by case.
Case by case. Each
so
one by each
will
one.
All be reviewed individually.
And this one, if with the side, and that's the first time I've heard that one, which makes sense because it the side and the corner fronts and everything else like that, the different fronts. But that's more of a understandable exception than somebody has a 5 foot, comes in for a 5 foot variance, gets it, and then now wants to proceed into the other 5 feet, because that should never be allowed.
That is not what this request is. This request is to encroach into the corner front yard setback.
The corner front, but it did not have partial. It did not come into play on a new ordinance.
Correct. Corner fronts were not considered as part of the small lot ordinance.
Okay. Then it would make perfectly sense to approve this one on that occasion because you don't want a generator on the opposite side.
So, Mr. Rieger, just to be clear, are you in support of this application?
I'm in support of the application.
Thank you. Appreciate the clarity.
I'd like to respectfully mention also that although we had a rear setback variance that was approved, working with John Warfel and Vista Designs, our engineer and surveying firm, John is a draftsman, we were able to square the house a lot little more and actually avoid having to have the rear setback variance that was actually approved. So I submitted an amended survey and a letter to the county that was approved, showing that we ended up not needing that, and the county was made aware of that before we built two. So, and I think part of the practical difficulty in using this lot is not just that it's a small lot, but the lot lines are perpendicular, so the building envelope's a little odd. The first floor of this plan, even though it's a large house because it's tall, is not really big. So I'd respectfully request that you consider passing the variance for the generator.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I will then close the public hearing. I did ask for for and against, right?
Correct.
Should have tired. And entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve case number 12372 for Insight Homes. I believe they have met all the criteria to grant a variance. I believe the flooding is definitely an issue. And that's my motion.
And a second?
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Mr. Carson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Corman?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye, for the reasons.
And I, too, for the reasons. So with a vote of 5-0, your application is approved. And I would urge Insight Homes to get one of these big books.
I'll make sure I come to planning and we get that, okay?
Thank you.
Am I off the record now?
Yes.
I am off the record?
Well, no.
Okay.
No. No, you're not. We have a couple other things to take care of. So
we apologize. We apologize for what you may have ran into weeks ago. Okay.
All good.
Have a great day, folks. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional business.
We wanted to provide the 2020 meeting schedule for your information. So we have scheduled next year's public hearings.
Great, then.
We avoided all the holidays, and there's caroling on the circle and everything we avoided.
Yeah, it looks like there's only a couple back-to-back weeks that I see. So
yes, and that's definitely December, which always happens.
And September, which always happens.
Correct.
And I think we have one January, February from Martin Luther King Day.
Nope, January is actually early and then late. So,
yeah,
like you're talking about 27th in February. Sorry, yes.
Do we need a motion to adopt these?
Nope, it's just for informational purposes.
All righty. Discussion regarding county permitting process.
I know, I think Dr. Carson, I think you have brought up some questions about permitting. I know Ms. Cornwell's here tonight, and we had a discussion. I know. Mr. Workman, I believe Mr. Williamson was here, and Ms. McGee, we had kind of a discussion about this back in the spring, because I think there had been some frustration with the board at that time that there were perhaps cases where, you know, we were getting, I don't want to say the word bad actors, but we were getting folks who were coming in saying my builder did this, and there was a question as to what authority the board had, and there were some questions about the permitting process. I will note that the permitting process has improved significantly over the past few years as far as the level of communication with the director and the planning and zoning staff. You may recall that we even had a case recently where I believe Mike Costello and some other folks kind of talked about some of that process with a specific case, but that's kind of what's been going on elsewhere. So I know that was there's been a lot of improvements there. There will continue to be improvements there. Frankly, in the 8 or so years I've been on here, we've seen large changes. So it's been to benefit. But I do recognize, I think, Dr. Carson, you had some questions about it. We did put that as an item on the agenda. If the board has the energy and the to discuss it, we can do that.
Not necessarily questions. My comments were directed to the case, but also to the process. And I believe it was Mr. Costello who had mentioned, and I did receive a phone call saying, do you have questions? I don't know that I have questions. What I heard was that we were expanding our cross-training of our field inspectors to
we're trying to
be multi-task oriented as opposed to simply looking at the foundation permit inspection.
Correct.
But to basically say that if there's a non-compliance potential that's observed, that we have the ability to push the stop button before a building gets built.
Correct.
And I applaud that. And so my comment was directed at that because the angst of telling someone who has just built a new building after we've been out we can have departments, and we can say and point all we want, but the point is, it's all of us in terms of saying the county was here and looked, and then we built. And so I'm commending whomever to saying that I appreciate the work that's being done to minimize those events from occurring.
Yeah, we continue to drink. Actually, a couple weeks ago, Samantha was even there. We had all the building inspectors, the zoning inspectors, the planners, and we just did, let's have a site plan conversation or setback conversation. So we went over scenarios, and we'll continue to do that to make sure everybody's comfortable when they're out looking, especially the building inspectors, when they're looking at those footers. And they know if they're not sure, they can call a zoning inspector. Zoning inspector will go out. We've put a hold on that permit. You know, if the zoning inspector's not sure, we can ask for an as-built survey to make sure that foundation is right, to eliminate things to continue to build that are in a location that it's not supposed to.
That's good. I think the last thing this board does, especially me, is want to create undue financial stress on somebody. I mean, that's the last thing any of us want to do. I mean, a lot of us are small business owners, what have you, but we've had to do that in two cases here, and I feel terrible about it. And so if it's, you know, we're here to help people, and that we had to do what we had to do because it's there, but it's also, you know, we need to try to make it so people don't get that far. So I applaud the county for doing that.
Yeah, we continue to provide new technologies, new training. So when we work the assessment department, who's going to issue the permit, that they're getting the right information. Who the inspectors, when they're doing the first inspection, they're getting the right information. So we are trying to cover all our bases to eliminate the number of applications coming to the Board of Adjustment.
And to help the public comply with that.
Absolutely. Sure. Yes. Well, it keeps them out of having to come to the board.
Exactly. So it's been a work in progress. And I'm sure Mr. Workman, as many years as you've been on the board and me with my, I know I've seen a large improvement in that regard. And a lot of it's technology based, but it's also open communication.
They've changed a lot, but still think, like Jeff said, I hate somebody put their trust in a builder and then he walks away. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, there should be some way you could stop that when he comes in. Hey, you're not setting this. The county said, hey, no more permits. They straighten yourself up. They can't build no more. It won't take long to straighten yourself up.
Right. That we don't have the authority to do. We have the authority to do the inspections. We're working on getting them to do the inspections up front. They're not 100% doing that. They're still learning, but they are working with the zoning inspectors to do that. So we are trying to catch as many right now.
There's the definition of willful.
I can't stop somebody from doing something that they want to do.
Category. And honestly, willful, I don't have a lot of patience for.
Yeah.
Because it's our time that has to deal with and people and money and you know, all of those things. And so I hear you.
And it's different when somebody, just another one on 113, he knew what he was doing. I'm not saying anything.
I'm not saying
113. A lot of places on 113.
Well.
But when somebody tries to
get
over
this
on
is
you,
everywhere.
Okay, when somebody tries to get over on you, that gets me then. But when somebody depends on a builder to do it the right way,
sure,
that's not the right way to do that.
And I think we've got a scenario we are working to put into place to help reduce that situation.
I agree.
And also so that you can have a better opportunity to make that determination too, because we will have better county records on what was told and what was done. So if you do have that person who's coming in willfully and acting as a bad actor, we will hopefully be in a better position to identify that
when
it comes up to the board and have a record for it.
Would you be able to put certain regulations on what they can do, meaning add something to the motion where they could be responsible for fixing that?
You know, we don't have that kind of enforcement authority. The board can impose reasonable conditions on approvals, but, you know, to have the ability to go out and have that enforcement component, I'm not sure that we do.
I was just thinking that if it, if that was the case and they were found to be non-compliant, that's when we start denying, you know, we would have basis to start denying that certain company.
I think that's more of a legislative question.
That is more of a council question, yeah. And
we have
what
to look at each application on its own merits. So even though...
Because I think there are good, there potentially are good apples and bad apples in the same company. So you could get a good apple that has something happen, or you can get the bad apple that something happens.
Right.
So I think that's where, again, as Ms. McGee states...
I think it's a work in progress.
Thank you for the effort.
And education for them.
And I also, I know it's not on the agenda, real quick. Council has moved forward an application, an ordinance to make medical hardships, garage studio apartments, and manufactured home type structures used as an office, business, or commercial uses as an administrative process and not require the special use exception unless there is an objection. So that is going before the council.
To you.
They would come through the planning office, and if there's an objection, then it would come to you.
And what were those three things?
The medical hardships, the garage studio apartments, and the manufactured home type structures used as an office, school, classroom, etc.
And then they approved something a couple weeks ago.
Manufactured homes. Oh, the construction trailers, which is similar to the manufactured home type structure as a construction trailer. That good. Would be just no longer, and then model homes would be a permitted accessory use.
All righty. Anything else? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
No.
No, you want to stay here all night?
Okay, with a vote of 4-1.